Good afternoon, brethren. It's great to be here, especially during a holiday season where we have multiple opportunities in a short amount of time to get together and fellowship and learn together. If you read the Bible, the New Testament, there's not a whole lot written about Jesus before he began his ministry. There's quite a bit about his birth, the events leading up to the birth, and his first few days. And then we can read about him fleeing because Herod wanted him dead. Herod didn't want any competition, and so there was the death of all the young baby boys as Jesus fled to Egypt. And then we know the story when he was around 12 years old, and he was at the feast in Jerusalem, and he got lost at least his parents thought that he got lost, and they had to circle back and found him speaking in the temple. And then there was the turning water into wine, which was still before his ministry. And then we know when he was 30 years old, then he actually began and he called his disciples and he started doing what he really was born to do on earth. And that lasted only for a short time, only a couple years. But so much of his life, you could say about 90% of his life, there's almost nothing written about. So what was he doing during that time? Did any of those activities, did they have lessons for us or maybe even lessons for him? Well, we know that it was a time of training. We know that he was very well versed in the scriptures because he had a hand in writing those scriptures before he was born, but I think it's pretty obvious that he studied them and knew them very well and was able to give responses when necessary. Even as a 12-year-old in the temple, how he made the teachers marvel at his knowledge. But what else was he doing during that time? What did he do to make a living? What did his family do? Well, there at least we have a little bit of insight because we can read in Matthew 13:55, it said of him, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So we can see that he was from a carpenter's family, that Joseph was a carpenter and there would be a decent probability that as the son that he would learn the same trade as the father or maybe go into the same business as the father. And when I think of carpenter, maybe it's just me, but I always have this vision of somebody maybe forming a table, putting a chair together, maybe hanging a door, something like that. But the word carpenter can encompass a lot more than those things. It can encompass those things, so they maybe aren't wrong. Maybe I was spot on in thinking that he built chairs, but it could be a lot more than that because the word is tekton. And tekton, the Greek word, that is somebody who works with stone or wood. It's a builder. And I really like the word builder because it includes all of those things that I used to think that he did, plus all sorts of other things. So, for example, somebody who builds a bridge would not be called a carpenter, but they are a builder. Or somebody who pours concrete for a skyscraper is, you wouldn't really call him a carpenter either, but he is a builder. Or a bricklayer is a builder. And likewise, Jesus is a builder. He did some kind of building, though we don't exactly know a lot of details about that. And that word tekton, even though it's Greek, it has found its way into our language, for example, with the word tectonics. Tectonics is the study of the deformation of rocks that make up the earth's crust. Basically, it's implying that the earth is built on rocks, and these rocks move around, and the tectonic plates, if they bump into each other, they form mountains or they form ridges. And so tectonics is, the word building is implied in there, and it's implied also that it has to do with rocks. But we don't know necessarily that Jesus was a stone mason, but I think that it's quite possible. Especially when you think of the landscape of Judea, there were a lot of rocks, and structures were built out of rocks. Most people's houses were made out of rocks. Even the modern Jerusalem, the old city is made out of rocks, and even if you go outside, that is a very common building structure. And so Jesus was, in any case, a builder. That was his physical job. So Jesus was a builder for his physical father, and we can also say Jesus continued as a builder for his spiritual father. Now, God could have planned the circumstances however he wanted for Jesus' family, for the father and mother whom he chose to be the parents of Jesus while he was in the earth, or on the earth. He could have made Joseph a sandal maker or a farmer. He could have been a wine grower, but they weren't. They were builders, and Jesus was a builder. And so he learned that physical trade from his father, presumably, and he continued that same physical trade as a builder for his spiritual father. But instead of building cabinets or tables or stone buildings, he was building a church. He was building us, actually. In Matthew 16:18, it says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." So Jesus is saying, I'm a builder, and I'm going to build a church. And Peter, I'm going to start with you. So there are stones being built, and Peter was a key stone in that structure. So he said that to Peter, and then Peter went on, when he was an apostle, to write, and he wrote in that epistle and continued the same theme. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, he says, "And you, as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So here again we see the same theme where there is a structure being built. That structure is the church. Jesus is the builder who is putting that structure together, and then we are the stones being used to build that structure. So not just Peter, but everybody that God is working with now. Our older brother, Jesus Christ, is not only the builder, he will be part of that structure too. And that's fitting because we're going to inherit all things. He's our older brother. He's inheriting all things with us. And so he is going to be part of that same structure. And we see that in Psalm 118:22. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." So he will be right there with us in that spiritual structure that's being built as the chief cornerstone. So we see what he was doing before he began his ministry, and we see what he did after, and we see the continuity between his original trade and what his new career was, that in essence, they were very similar, maybe one preparing for the other. But we can even go beyond that, because Jesus was always a builder, not just on the earth, not just for his physical father. Jesus was a builder for his spiritual father before time began. John tells us that at the beginning of his gospel, John 1 verse 2, speaking of Jesus, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So he really was the master builder who made this whole universe. So he and God the Father got together and they had a plan, and the plan involved bringing many sons to glory, right? The plan involved us, but they didn't just do that directly. They went through this step of creating a universe. And even though Genesis says, well, God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, and let there be earth and the stars, I believe it says that, and I believe it's true, but I think there was a lot more to it. I think that it was meticulously planned, and they thought out, how can we create a physical universe? What rules can we set in motion for the planets to orbit like they should and for the atoms to cling together like they should to create a venue to have physical human beings. I think that Jesus was a builder from the beginning and planned out this universe. And as it says here, all things were made through him. So he was the builder. And he's not done. He's still going on, and he's still building. Revelation 3, verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. So Jesus is a builder. He's building that temple. And as a good stone worker, he's forming us, the living stones. He's giving us the experiences that we need, helping to form our character so that we fit just in the place that he has planned for us. And it's not just that. We know that the fall holy days, that's for the whole world when everybody will be called. Now is the time, the spring holy days and Pentecost coming up, that's for the first fruits, right, representing those of us who are called now. And this verse in Revelation, it's saying that we have a special place. We're going to be a pillar. Pillars, that's a position of honor, right? So we have a special place in this spiritual temple that God is building up. So Jesus' work as a builder did not end at his crucifixion. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. So preparing a place, he's still building even now. What an amazing future the master builder is creating for us.